In his place was a responsible brother he could now respect. John, on the other hand, still struggled with the harsh brutality of the frontier and the courage it required. The architect's gentle, intellectual nature would undoubtedly clash with the realities of the rough-edged world they just entered. But of his three brothers, the trip affected his youngest brother the most. Stephen now knew the high cost a man must pay for his dreams. Sometimes those dreams can only be bought with what is most precious to us, life. And Stephen learned that it takes courage to defend life, not just weapons. For Stephen, courage had been the difference between living and dying. Bear had proven his courage many times. Oddly, he thought Bear was more like him than any of his brothers. An experienced fighter, with admirable skills as a hunter and an exceptional knowledge of weapons, he greatly admired Bear. During their journey, Bear grew closer to all of them. But all these changes were just the beginning. Kentucky would compel each of them to find new destinies and new lives. Just what he wanted. It would start now. He motioned for Catherine and Jane to steer their wagons toward a magnificent elm near the center of town, where a group of townspeople congregated. Some sat at old weathered wooden tables, and some stood talking in small clusters. Jane yelled to slow the oxen, tugging their guide ropes to steer the wagon underneath the immense tree. Catherine pulled her team up close as well. Sam, Stephen, and the other horseback men all assembled close to the two wagons. The tree's far-reaching branches shaded them all from the sun. William dismounted, dusting off his clothing as he approached the townsfolk gathered at the shady spot.
"Welcome to Boonesboro. You fine folk have ventured a far piece, to be sure. Where are you folks from?"
asked one of the men. The other townspeople gathered around the newcomers.
"New Hampshire," William answered, enthusiastically shaking the man's hand. "Except for Mrs. Adams in that wagon, who met with misfortune and was widowed on the way here, she's from Boston, and Ms. McGuffin sitting next to her, who is from a remote place in Virginia near Cat Springs. They both decided to travel to Kentucky with us for their protection."
"New Hampshire is indeed a far piece, about as far as you can get from here," another man said.
William made all the other introductions and they met several of the townspeople, including a balding, stout man named Thomas Wolfe, the man that greeted them first.
"It's my pleasure, sirs, to make your acquaintances. I know you have endured a long and no doubt difficult trip. We'll assist you in getting settled as much as we can,"
Mr. Wolfe offered graciously.
"There are no accommodations available at our one inn, but you may camp at the fort as so many others have, or on the other side of Boonesboro along the river. It is considerably quieter there, and we have no problems with the natives at present. May I have the pleasure of showing you around the town?"
"Kind of you, sir, to offer, but we'll be moving on shortly," Sam replied. He realized he sounded curt, and the man's offer probably came from just being hospitable, but he didn't know this man. He hadn't made it this far taking offers from strangers.
"Well, I could sure use help with my thirst," William said, smiling broadly. "I've been looking forward to having an ale here for about 1,000 miles. What direction is your tavern, sir?"
Mr. Wolfe pointed down the street and led the way.
"Join me as soon as you've made camp," William yelled back, strolling swiftly away with his horse, Mr. Wolfe, and several of the town's other men in tow.
Stephen scowled. "We're here 5 minutes and he disappears to a tavern."
"William has his own way of doing things," Sam said. "By the time we get to that tavern, he'll know more about this town and who's who than we'd learn in a week."
Sam led them through the noisy town, a way station for settlers going elsewhere. They made their way through the street crowded with wagons of all types, farm wagons, lumber wagons, freight wagons, and carts loaded with the fly-covered furs of trappers. Horses from all the wagons littered the streets liberally with fresh manure, making walking only possible in a zigzag fashion.
"What do you think, Sam?" Stephen asked.
"It's exactly as I'd imagined," Sam answered.
13 years earlier, Adventures, Daniel Boone's book, had inspired him, and he had remained captivated by the idea of Kentucky. He wasn't alone. Proof of the power of the written word to shape a nation, the book called tens of thousands to this virgin wilderness. He rode past many of those daring souls now. Rough-looking men and women stood everywhere.